the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. O Lord, open thou my lips. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Hear, O Lord, and answer me. Guard my life, for I am devoted to you.
You are my God, save your servant who trusts in you.
Have mercy on me, O Lord.
For I call to you all day long.
Bring joy to your servant.
For to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul.
You are forgiving and good, O Lord. Hear my prayer, O Lord.
Listen to my cry for mercy.
In the day of my trouble, I will call to you. Let us pray. O Lord Jesus, you have given us a wonderful sacrament of your passion. Grant, we pray, that we may so receive this sacrament of your body and blood, so that the fruits of your redeeming work may continually be manifested in us. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Ghost, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the reading of God's Word.
The first reading for Monday, Thursday is written in the book of Exodus, the 12th chapter. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month every man shall take a lamb according to their father's house, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons, according to what each can eat, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lamb at twilight. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh that night, roast it on the fire. With unleavened bread and bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roast it, its head with its legs and its inner parts. And you shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. In this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall eat it as a feast to the Lord. Throughout your generations as a statute forever, you shall keep it as a feast." Here ends the reading. The epistle is written in the book of 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world." Here ends the reading. Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel is written in the 13th chapter of St. John, beginning at the first verse. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" And Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." And Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "The one who has bathed does not need to wash, except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you." For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, "Not all of you are clean." When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do, just as I have done to you." Here endeth the gospel. Please be seated for our sermon hymn, hymn 313. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Here on Monday, Thursday, we continue with the Lord's Prayer and we apply it to our Lord's Passion. Tonight, we cover the petition, "And lead us not into temptation." It was on this night that Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane. He went there to pray. He told his disciples, after they had fallen asleep, "Watch and pray that you do not fall into temptation." Therefore, Jesus has given us the prayer, the Lord's Prayer, and our petition tonight, that we may pray tonight and lead us not into temptation. What is temptation? We hear this word often, especially in the church, yet do we truly understand what it means to be tempted? James explains to us, each person is tempted when he is dragged away and lured by his own desire. Being tempted means something or someone is trying to drag you away, to lure you away from Jesus. Temptation sometimes feels like someone or something has grabbed you and is trying to haul you off. You feel an urge or a compulsion, a strong evil hand, maybe even grasping at you and even clutching you and maybe even crushing you. Dear one, you must understand that just because the evil one attempts to drag you away does not mean that he has the power to actually drag you away from Jesus. Oh, no doubt, he pulls and he yanks and he tugs in order to wear you out, to grind you down. But he cannot make, nor can he force you to sin. Temptation comes when you and I begin to listen to the evil one, and then sin follows when we act on that temptation. When we stop resisting, and we do that which we know we're not to do, we know it violates God's holy law. Sadly, we all too often sin, and we don't even realize it. That's just how corrupt each of us truly are. Nevertheless, resisting temptation is possible. Consider Joseph from the Old Testament. Joseph was tempted by his master's wife day after day after day. Potiphar's wife enticed Joseph, "Come, lie with me." But Joseph said, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Finally, one day, she caught Joseph by his garment, and her evil trap was sprung. But Joseph was not taken in. He left his garment in her hand and fled and got out of the house. God's promise from 1 Corinthians chapter 10 is very important for all of us. Paul writes to them and says, "No temptation is taking you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way out that you may be able to endure it." The other image that James uses that we heard already is the word lure. Now, since many of you like to fish, you've got the right idea. There is some type of lure or bait that's involved. It's almost like tempting, like Satan is wagging it before your head. Come and get it, come and get it. And this temptation is the exact temptation that the devil used on Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. He twisted God's holy word and made it into a deadly lure with which he could trap and capture Adam and Eve. Satan spoke with very smooth yet perverted words. And when Eve looked at the fruit on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and she saw that it was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, what does Eve do? She reaches out and snatches the lure. And Adam was right there with her, and so did he. Just because there's tempting bait does not mean that sin must follow. The presence of bait is not sin, by the way, although the fact remains that temptation only becomes sin when we take the bait, just like Adam and Eve. Maybe you've heard this old saying before, you cannot prevent the birds from flying over your head, but you can certainly keep them from building a nest in your hair. Jesus tells us, temptations to sin are sure to come, but sin does not as surely follow. And that there are times, yes, there are certainly times, too many for us to count, by the way, when we consent to go where Satan is pulling and dragging and setting the bait. So tonight we pray, and lead us not into temptation. And in the very same prayer, we also pray, and forgive us our trespasses. Since we don't always stand firm, since we don't always resist temptation, it might be easier to stand and resist if we were only up against the enemies on the outside of us, like the devil and the world. Yet, as many of you already have heard and we've been talking about all through our midweek services, there is a source of temptation that is within us. As James tells us, we are lured by his own desire, our own desires. We know that is our sinful human nature. We call him old Adam, who is a willing accomplice with the devil and the world. He even drags himself off and lures and baits himself to sin. Thus, we cry out with St. Paul, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of death?" Yet this is not a hopeless, open-ended question, since Paul gives an immediate answer. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And this turns our attention to our hope, to our helper in the midst of temptation. Who is our hope? Who is our helper when we're being tempted? Jesus. Remember, he too was grabbed, and he too was lured by the evil one. Yet Jesus resisted every time and overcame every time. He did this to conquer, to give his victory over temptation to you and to me. And at the same time, he kept himself spotless as the spotless Lamb of God in order to be our perfect sacrifice, which is what we'll be remembering tomorrow evening. For we remember that it is Jesus, who is the Lamb of God, who has taken away the sin of the world. The writer of Hebrews reminds us, "For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. And for we do not have a great high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Our great high priest, Jesus, he is our helper. He knows full well the temptations that each and every one of you are enduring each and every day. Draw near to the throne of grace to receive his mercy. Draw near to his word. Draw near to his table. Draw near by prayer. Jesus told his disciples, "Watch and pray that you may not fall into temptation." Your prayer in time of temptation does not have to be a long-winded diatribe. It only needs to be a cry for help, the bleating of a little lamb who bleeds for his or her good shepherd and pleads for his or her good shepherd to come to your rescue. Secondly, we draw near to the throne of grace to receive mercy by coming to his table and receiving his body and blood. It was on this night, as we have heard from our epistle lesson tonight, that Jesus instituted his Holy Supper, in which he gives his body and blood to eat, his body to eat and his blood to drink. Satan may have many lures to entice you to sin. Those evil traps do not even compare to the great gift that your loving Lord freely serves you here at this altar. That great gift is the forgiveness of sins. And yes, sadly, tonight we are unable to partake of our Lord's body and blood, to be in full and complete fellowship and unity with each other, you, our brothers and sisters, sitting at home. We are apart because of a scourge that's sweeping our land. So we patiently wait. We wait for the day, and that day will come when we will all stand here. We will stand shoulder to shoulder, and we will stand heart to heart, and we will receive from our Lord his body and his blood once again for the forgiveness of our sins, for the strengthening of our faith unto life and salvation. That is his promise, and his promise is sure. Therefore, by the forgiveness of sins, Jesus continues to conquer. He continues to conquer temptation, and he makes us his noble knights who ride with him, Jesus, our valiant one. In his grace, we fight and we resist and we overcome. Even if we should become unsaddled, it is Jesus who lifts us up, who washes off the dirt of sin, and makes us valiant in his strength. So therefore, as we now end, at the last time, at the last strife, soon the scourge will be over. Soon this life here on this earth will be past. And Jesus will bring us into himself, where there is no hand to drag us away, where there is no lure to entice us ever again. There will only be perfect rest and perfect peace and perfect joy in his everlasting kingdom. And lead us not into temptation. Thanks be to Jesus. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen. Please remain standing as we now prepare for the prayers of the church.
Let us pray. On this holy night in which our Lord gathered his disciples in the upper room, we come to you, O Lord, in your name, with the concerns of our hearts for ourselves, for our neighbors, and for all people. Grant to us zeal for your house, O Lord, and love for the things of your kingdom. Preserve those who are unable to gather together as they wish, and grant them their desire quickly. Give your church harmony and peace to confess your word with one voice before this evil world. Cover us with the blood of Christ, and grant us your spirit, that we may walk in your ways and do the good you desire. O Lord, give to us faithful pastors who will preach your word in season and out of season, and give us ears and hearts willing to hear and to heed your voice. Raise up godly men to serve us as pastors, and raise up godly men and women to serve as teachers and in other offices for your service. Bless those preparing for full-time church work in our colleges and seminaries, as well as those considering church work careers. Do not let the world's fears turn them from a faithful and devoted ministry. In the midst of plagues and enemies that threaten and a world filled with conflict and terror, give us wise leaders, O Lord, that we may be preserved from harm. Guide those who make and administer our laws to act in timely and prudent ways, and give to all judges knowledge to render justice with mercy. Bless all military, emergency, and medical workers who defend us here and abroad. Have mercy, Lord. Spare your people and turn this pandemic away. Preserve the sick, comfort the fearful, and grant to the dying your peace. Hear us on behalf of all those who have asked us to pray. Give us healing in accordance with your will, strength to bear up under the burdens of this mortal life, and comfort and hope in this and every trial. Heavenly Father, your Son instituted his most blessed sacrament to eat and to drink, that what is promised in this testament may be truly received by his friends and heirs. Have mercy on all who are kept from your table in this extraordinary circumstance, and do not shut them out of your Holy Supper forever. Let the words of this testament echo in our ears and hearts, and in true faith, let them believe these words, trusting that they receive spiritually in faith exactly what your Son has both won and declared, the forgiveness of sins. Stir up in us a desire to commune with our fellow Christians on your true body and blood, and bring us soon, very soon, O Lord, to your table. You know, O Lord, what we need, and you have promised never to abandon us. Help us to endure in faith and, with a joyful countenance, receive the blessings of your grace and the answers to our prayers. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Ghost, one God, now and forever. Amen. Father, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
O God, from whom all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works do proceed, give unto us thy servants that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey thy commandments, and also that we, being defended by thee from the fear of our enemies, may pass our time in rest and quietness through the merits of Jesus Christ our Savior, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.